I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. 6 months ago, the hashtag was Bring Back Our Girls. If you had to update that now, it'd be They're Still Not Back. In fact, a report today from Human Rights Watch indicates even more girls are missing in Nigeria, not just the more than 200 abducted by Boko Haram last April, but many others kidnapped by the militant group before and after that. In just a moment, we'll hear from some of the schoolgirls who actually managed to escape Boko Haram. They spoke with our colleagues at the BBC and also to researchers at Human Rights Watch. And let's begin with that report released today. Mousi Segun is a Nigeria researcher with Human Rights Watch in London.
The victims and witnesses that we spoke with were forced to carry out work, including cooking and cleaning and involvement in Boko Haram attacks. One young woman was made to carry bullets. At another time, she was asked to help kill a young man out of a group that she had helped to lure into the arms of the insurgents. And so terrifying stories from many of them, forced also to convert from Christianity to Islam. Many thereafter, especially the younger girls, single unmarried girls, forced then into marriages with insurgents and raped and subjected to other forms of sexual abuse.
And where were they? Were they in Nigeria, or did Boko Haram take them across borders, as many had suspected, into Cameroon or Chad maybe?
Mainly the biggest of the camps appears to be in the Sambisa Forest Park. In that forest, we've been told that they have several smaller camps within the camp. And so a couple of the women were taken from one camp, they would sleep in a camp and move to another camp and gradually inching closer to where they said they were told was the headquarters of the leader, Abubakar Shekau, but they never did see him in person.
And those encampments that you described, those are in Nigeria itself?
In Nigeria. Those camps are in Borno State, Nigeria. Mm.
Did the girls tell you how hard it was for them to escape?
Oh, yes. Those students from the Chibok school talked about having to just take their lives in their hands. And there was one 18-year-old girl, while the rest of the students were crouching on the ground in the school waiting for the insurgents to decide what to do with them, she simply just scaled the wall of the school and fled. Others were forced to walk for miles before being forced onto trucks. And then along the way, as they moved, they began to hang onto tree branches, some jumping off and breaking a leg, injuring their backs.
Wow.
I mean, one woman talked about running through the hills for days, running into streams, getting cold, sleeping out in the dark at night, afraid that they would be recaptured, afraid that they would be attacked by wild animals. But virtually, they made their way into a settlement where they found people that helped them to get back home. So all kinds of stories.
Wow, what extraordinary courage and stories. I mean, very lucky these girls managed to escape, but how are they dealing now with what must be some trauma?
Yeah, I think that is where their story becomes even more heartbreaking. After returning from those horrible experiences, one woman talked about her parent taking her with him to the police station to just document what had happened to her. And the police told them, just go home and count yourself lucky that you managed to escape. And so they do not have the support that they need to deal with all the psychological and mental trauma that they suffered. And then they do not have any kind of justice or any kind of faith that the system would kick off and investigate the allegations and probably at the end of it, hold those who committed those crimes against them responsible. I think that is where the government has simply failed them.
Plus, you'd just think the Nigerian officials would immediately be interviewing these girls themselves to zero in where Boko Haram is hiding out. Have the authorities asked for any information about what happened to them?
No one in the authorities have deemed it proper or fit to investigate or listen to the wonderful, horrific tales that these women and girls have returned with. I don't think there are that many people who make it into Boko Haram's camp and come out. And to have all of that ignored and swept aside by the authority as a non-issue, it's shocking. It's shocking that they're not taking advantage of the wealth of information that they have about how the group is organized, about where they are, who they are. They know names, they know locations, they know things that would have helped the authorities, and really just shocking.
Mousi Segun, Nigeria researcher with Human Rights Watch, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
As I already mentioned, our colleagues at the BBC's Hausa service also interviewed some of the girls who were kidnapped by Boko Haram last April, but managed to escape. Here's some of what they had to say about their ordeal, starting with the night that armed men broke into their school.
When they entered the school, they told us they were soldiers. They told us to gather there. Nothing will happen to us. Then they started to chant Allahu Akbar and shot in the air. They said, if any one of you attempts to live here, we'll kill all of you.
They were speaking to us in Hausa. They said to us, you are only coming to school for prostitution. Boko, that is Western education, is haram, forbidden. So what are you doing here in school?
We walked for about an hour. They kept saying to us, make sure you put on your scarves. Make sure you put on your scarves. We will shoot any girl we see without a scarf. And any girl who jumps out will die. When we arrived, it was about 12 o'clock. Some of the girls were tired and were lying down, but I couldn't lie down. They brought the food for us to eat. I stooped to eat, then something inside me said, get up and go. I just kept going. Then one girl followed me. I looked back thinking it was the Boko Haram trying to catch me. Then I saw her. I said, let's go. I saw some of the Boko Haram getting ready to pray. We stooped as if we were trying to pull out thorns from our shoes. They thought we might be going to the toilet. We kept going slowly. We started to run. We heard them saying, catch those girls. Whether they came after us or not, we didn't know. We stopped after a while. We didn't hear any sound of gunshots or vehicles. It was so quiet. When I saw my elder and younger brothers, I fell to the ground crying. My mother and father were crying, and all members of my family cried. Before I reached home, it was as if there was a death in the house. People were condoling my father and mother, thinking that I had died. I thank God, and that's what I keep doing every day. And I haven't forgotten about the other girls who are still in the hands of those people.
Wow. Extraordinary first-person accounts from girls kidnapped by Boko Haram last April, but who managed to escape. They told their stories to our friends at the BBC Hausa service.